What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
You want a Heisman Trophy. You're the number one pick in the NFL draft. What is your next goal as a member of the Chicago Bears?
Learn all my teammates' names, their families, learn the playbook, and get ready to go win games.
All right, congratulations, Caleb.
Thank you.
That's Caleb Williams, the Bears' starting Chicago or quarterback, which we are all looking forward to. Let's interact a little bit here. We haven't taken many calls. Haven't read many text messages. 312-644-6767 is the number. And I asked the question before the break. If you were or are a big-time Justin Fields fan, are you over it? Are you welcoming of Caleb Williams? Or are you still wanting or wishing that Justin Fields was here, or anything Bears-related that you may have heard on this show? It is fair game. 312-644-6767. Weider and Grody. We've got Caitlin Sharkey coming up at 8:30 from WGN. Let us begin with Matt. How you doing, Matt? You're on the score.
Hey, great to be on. I just wanted to say what it comes down to is I was a huge Fields fan, but it's done at this point. I think this draft is going to be Caleb Williams' draft one way or the other, unless he owns basically every Bears rookie passing record at the end of this season. Something has gone hideously wrong, and this pick is either going to make Poles a legend in Chicago, or it's going to make Caleb Williams be ranked up there as a Ryan Leaf level bust. There won't be any in between at this point. The Bears quarterback play has been so bad historically that this is the first time where I think as a Bears fan, I could say, I could see the Bears quarterback leading the league in passing in the future. And I've never been able to say that in my life. Not seriously.
Thanks for the call, Matt. I do think that there's something here to be said about the low bar, Grody, that this is an organization that is still the only one in the National Football League to have never had a quarterback throw for 4,000 yards in a season, to have never had a quarterback throw for 30 touchdowns in a season. Those are not really high bars to clear. Caleb Williams could clear those bars in his rookie season, theoretically. He could get there in year two. It's not going to take long for a quarterback with this level of talent and this much help around him to be able to take swings at some of these milestone, quote-unquote, records that have lasted forever here in this city. Like, you remember in gym class when you used to do the high jump, like in sixth grade? And you
I hated the high jump, but yeah.
But like initially you start with the real low bar and all you had to do was the scissors kick over it.
Yeah, the scissors
kick. And then by the time you get into high school, they're trying to teach you how to do the Fosbury flop. This feels like, for the Bears, it's a scissor kick jump to get over these passing record bars.
The low bar.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep, absolutely. I was really good at climbing the rope. Could you climb the rope?
I was terrible at that.
I don't know why, but I was good at climbing the rope. It was, and then there was a pole, too. We had poles and ropes. I was able to climb both of those.
You had to climb a pole?
Yeah, there was a pole. There was a rope and a pole.
Why?
I don't know. Peacock Junior High in Itasca.
Climbing versatility.
Yeah, exactly.
Were there people that struggled with the rope that were better at the pole or vice versa?
I don't remember any discernible difference necessarily. It was probably a cheaper option or something okay. like that, or something that could last longer because the rope could come untwined or something like that. But I could climb a rope with the best of them. Yeah, it is pretty amazing. Like, Roma Dunze was on the score literally laughing about the lack of records for the Chicago Bears wide receivers.
Right, like the career receiving yards record is something like 5,059 or something by Johnny Morris.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen already has 10,000 career receiving yards. You know what I mean? So this is what we're talking about here. And so, like, as it relates to the Caleb and Justin conversation, I just don't think it's going to take long. You hear it in the voices of guys like Tevin Jenkins earlier tonight with us, with Cole Kmet earlier in the week. There was so much worry. Is the locker room going to be able to flip the page from Justin Fields and how well-liked and well-respected he was? And they've already done it, and they've done it with such seamless grace. It just seems really easy to see what the Bears are trying to accomplish here with this player.
Buterbaugh, bring me Trent in Chicago. Trent, you are on the score with Grody and Weederer. What's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're well.
Hey, so just to add to what Matt said, forget the Bears records, man. If he doesn't eclipse everything that C.J. Stroud did, it's a bust.
A bust.
We have more weapons than Houston does. I mean, there is no what did C.J. Stroud do? What, a 470-yard passing game, 5 touchdowns? We should be expecting at least one game like that out of Caleb Williams.
I'll let you go on, Trent, for sure. I definitely think that that's a fair expectation, but if he doesn't, I don't know. I'm not using the word bust for him if he doesn't become C.J. Stroud in his first year.
I'll acquiesce. That may be a little strong, but I think our expectations should be that he's on par with C.J. Stroud. I mean, with the weapons, the challenge I had with Fields, and the reason I was really frustrated by what we did, I like what Ryan Poles did to do right by him. However, Justin Fields never had this kind of offensive talent around him. Secondly, if we look at one of the complaints we always heard was that Justin Fields held the ball too long. I think he was number one. He was number one with being slow in passing the ball. Caleb Williams has the third highest in that category. He holds the ball too doggone long as well. So what are we going to do?
Trent, I love the sentiment of having higher expectations. I think that's something that has really held the Bears back for too long is this mindset of good enough is good enough. Well, no, good enough isn't good enough. You need to be better. You need to be great. You need to be excellent. You take a swing like this because you feel like you've identified a player that can take you to heights that you haven't been to in a long time or forever. Look, we talk all the time. The Bears haven't had 3 consecutive winning seasons since 1988. Can you imagine a stretch here where they're in the playoffs 5 out of 7 years, right? Like that's what we're looking at. Like when it comes to Caleb Williams, a couple points that I wanted to address that you brought up there. Number one, one of the big hurdles that he's got to clear is proving that he can exist in the pocket and not rely on his off-script playmaking gifts as a crutch too often. That's something he leaned on last year because he didn't have a whole lot of support up front, not a great receiving core, and he was chasing points at all times at USC.
Obviously leads into the holding the ball too long or adds to it.
Right,
that part.
No question. So you've got to answer that question, but ultimately you've got to be the guy that is the reason your team wins games on a regular basis, and he's set up with a supporting cast that is going to allow him to do that. And over time, you know, Grody, I don't know how you feel about this, but like to the point of like it's first year success or else. Or else what? You're going to pivot in year two? I mean, like he's going to get the full 3 years of his rookie contract before they make any sort of decision on who he is, you know, superstar or we've got to turn in a new direction. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, the impatience level in Chicago, I think, is probably the thing that we're going to have to guard against the most.
I understand
this
that,
upcoming
though.
Year.
I
get it, too.
Like, I mean, the Bears fans have been hurt before. If Caleb Williams underperforms this year,
it's trouble.
It's still what you said, though. They're not going to pivot from Caleb Williams if he has a below average season, that's for sure. But I understand why Bears fans would be freaking out, because we've been telling them how great Caleb Williams is for the last year or more, basically.
No question. And so that's going to be a job. I actually think this is something that the Bears themselves have to message internally as they go through the offseason, as they go through training camp, as they get into the regular season. I think they're going to have to be very intentional about articulating their realistic expectations for where Caleb Williams is on his growth curve at all times. Yeah. Just so the outside world, they may not hear it, they may not absorb it, but I think you have to put it out there so that there's a better understanding of things. Last year, August, we're talking about Justin Fields as an MVP candidate. Nobody that was around the team all the time thought that was in any way, shape, or form realistic. Anybody that had been watching practices, anybody that had seen, you know, his first couple seasons were like, that's you've just gone to ridiculous world. And it proved itself over the long haul. So managing expectations both internally and externally, I think, is going to be part of this process.
It was sitting in those bleachers during training camp and watching. I think one of the times it was with Hub Arkish, and you know, we just both were, it was the first time where I'd voiced out loud that I don't think this is going to work, just because we just had not seen. I mean, you hope that there was going to be that jump in training camp, and obviously we didn't see it. And we got a bunch of more calls I want to get to, but I think this is a good opportunity right now to. I had Trey Wingo on the other night. You guys all know Trey Wingo from ESPN, and for those of you who are, and I do understand, cynical about another quarterback that everybody's hitting you over the head about and telling you he's going to be great, you know, back in the Trubisky days to the Justin Fields days to now the Caleb Williams era. Well, Trey Wingo has a cautionary tale, and then we'll get back to your calls.
Some friends of mine did some research on first-round draft picks, whether they were a hit or a miss. And they did it on the premise of what made them a hit or a miss is that they received a second contract from the team that drafted them.
Okay,
right?
I like it.
So they did it over a 20-year period from 2000 to 2019. Now, you could make the argument that Baker Mayfield, as the number one pick in 2018, has finally been a hit, but he's on his fourth team, okay? Huh? He's on his fourth team now. So from 2000 to 2019, there were 56 quarterbacks taken in the first round of the draft. What percentage of those quarterbacks do you think got a second contract from the team that drafted them?
Well, so you say 56. What percent got the next contract? I'm going to say, well, I'm going to say 11%, Bears.
Well, that's way low, but it's 46%.
Okay.
The point being, it's less than half. And we just went through a quarterback draft like we've never seen before. We had six quarterbacks taken in the first 12 picks. The only other time we ever had six picks in the first round, the sixth quarterback was taken at pick 27 by the Miami Dolphins in 1983 when they picked Dan Marino. And so I mean, the point I'm making is the premise that this league or this division is going to be very tough is based on the two rookie quarterbacks will eventually starting in J.J. McCarthy and Caleb Williams, when history over a 20-year period has told us less than half of those guys we'll get a second contract with the team that drafted him. And even what's even more interesting, one of the actual worst position for success in a first-round pick over that 20-year period was wide receiver. There were 77 wide receivers taken in the first round between 2000 and 2019, and only 27% of them got a second contract from the team that drafted them. Oh, we all like to pretend like we know something. None of us know anything when it comes to the draft. It is the most inexact science in the history of the world.
I regret saying 11%, by the way. I hate when those questions are posed. They're like, what do you think it's going to be? And I just figured it would be extremely low. But Weeder, what do you think about what Trey Wingo said right there?
So there's a part of the sentiment that I'm entirely on board with, which is reminding the audience at all times that succeeding at this position in this league is one of the hardest things to do in sports. And it's just the degree of difficulty is not emphasized enough so that people truly understand this. But that research that Trey was citing also is first round quarterbacks, right? Like, so you're talking about guys like Christian Ponder and EJ Manuel and guys that are drafted later in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Now do it for number one overall picks. And you're going to see that those numbers are significantly higher, assuming that Joe Burrow, obviously he's got his extension. Trevor Lawrence probably going to get one from the Jaguars here before too long. And the hit rate is much higher when it's 1-1, the first overall pick. And so when it comes to Caleb Williams, you understand what that luxury is of being the team that chooses at the top of the draft and being the team that gets to capitalize on a prospect that has been talked about for a couple of years. Nothing's 100% guarantee rate, but you have a much higher hit rate when you're picking 1-1 than you do when you're picking 111 or 113. And so that's part of the context as well. And so it's all something to keep in the framework as we navigate this Caleb Williams experience for, again, what's going to be a 3-year period of evaluation before we can fully confirm a verdict on who he is.
You ready for me just to rip off a bunch of quarterback busts here for everybody to listen to? Jamarcus Russell.
That's Matt a 1-1.
Leinart, yes. Ryan Leaf, he was number 2. Johnny Manziel. Robert Griffin III. Akili Smith. Vince Young, David Carr, Joey Harrington. I thought Joey Harrington was going to be really good, and he certainly was not. Andre Ware, Brady Quinn, the Notre Damer, Jeff George, Bears, Rick Meyer, Bears. Did you think Rick Meyer was going to be good? I mean,
out of college for sure.
Yeah, I mean,
when he got to the Bears, you were kind of like, I'm not sure.
I don't know. I fell for it back then. I was young and naive, and was it Wani? I think it was Wani that made that deal, I think it was on Wani's watch. Yes, it was on Wani's watch that Rick Meyer came to the Bears from Seattle, and it was just one of the Bears' failures along the way. A few more of these, and I'll get back to your calls. Heath Shuler, Jake Locker, Todd Marinovich. Now we're going back. Mitch Trubisky, Charles Rogers, Art Schliester. Is that his name? Yeah. Blaine Gabbert. Brandon Whedon. Brandon Whedon's got to be 50 by now, right? Wasn't he one of those old guys coming out?
Yeah, and he was one of like 40 quarterbacks that the Browns drafted in a 7-year span.
That's right. That's right. And they finally sort of are getting their stuff together.
Maybe.
I am told, Weederer, that Daniel in Naperville would be a good call for us right now. Uh-oh. So let's talk to Daniel. How you doing, Daniel? You're on the Score.
Gentlemen, good evening. Thanks for taking my call.
To you, sir.
This is a call for Trent. So, I don't know if Trent watches football or if he's maybe more of a soccer guy.
Who?
But there's a big difference between Caleb holding the ball for the time he held the ball in college and Justin in the pros. Anybody who watched any of USC last year knows that Caleb Williams' offensive line was absolutely horrendous. So the reason that he held the ball, while he wasn't holding the ball for a long time, he was running for his life, and he was doing so effectively, actually. Justin Fields, on the other hand, was holding the ball forever because he could not read a defense. You know, I was at the Lions game at home, and, you know, I'm sitting in the south end zone, and you know, DJ Moore streaking down the middle of the field wide open with no one even around him, right, for like the third time that game. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this guy cannot read a defense. And the guy in front of me says, a defense? He can't read his own offense. And that's exactly right. Okay, so for anybody to say that if Caleb Williams doesn't eclipse what C.J. Stroud did in the absolutely pathetic AFC South is completely asinine. Like, that makes no sense whatsoever. The NFC North right now is probably the best or the second best division in football. The AFC South is pathetic.
Perhaps Tyler can get Daniel Trent's number and they can get together and finish this conversation. But I do think, like there is some things here that Caleb Williams brings to the table that at the end of season 3, Justin Fields still had not gotten to. And it's that pocket feel. You know, we talk about pocket presence, but we also talk about feeling a pocket, knowing when to slide up, when to climb, when to shuffle to the right, when to retreat. Caleb Williams does that on a level that Justin never did and may never will, right? And so, like, that's part of when Ryan Poles talks about spatial awareness and a quarterback's feel for what's going on around him. That is part of what they're betting on with Caleb Williams, is that he's going to hold the ball when he has to. Now, look, he's got ball security things he's got to clean up. There's fundamental things that they're going to work on for a year, 2 years, 3 years till he masters them. But it's that pocket feel that held Justin back at times, and it's why his sack rate was not only really bad, mm-hmm. but it was significantly worse than the other Bears quarterbacks who played with the same offensive line and same supporting cast, whether it be a Trevor Siemian or a Nick Foles or an Andy Dalton or a Tyson Bagent or whoever else it may be. Justin just didn't have that feel as where it needs to be a high-level quarterback in the NFL.
And once he got past his first read, it just, a lot of times, it felt like it was all bets off. And I'm not saying he didn't succeed sometimes in that regard, But a lot of times if you watched him and he had to go to option two, it got chaotic.
Going into his second season, when I was doing my hits with Parkins and Spiegel, we talked every week about tuck and runs. Every week after games, I would give them the TAR stats, the tuck and run stats on what Justin did in that game. And the reason that came up is because during training camp that second season, it was like exactly what you just said. Something wasn't there, and his default mechanism was, I'm going to take off and run with this. And obviously, it was very dangerous and created quite a highlight reel. But the TAR needed to be replaced with an SAT, which was scramble and throw. You know, keep the play alive, keep your eyes up, get outside the pocket, and hurt people with your arm and your ability to pass. He started to get better at that at the end of year three, and they praised him for that, but it still wasn't at a level enough to believe that you could be a consistent difference maker at the NFL level.
I remember asking Justin Fields a question this year relative to last year or the 2022 season, where he was brilliant at running, but as you said, too much tuck and run. And he even admitted, we could probably find the audio. He said, there were times that I took off and I don't even know why I was taking off. I'm paraphrasing, but he admitted there were times where he knew he was taking off too early.
It's understandable why that became addicting, because it created 55-yard, 62-yard, 68-yard touchdown runs. You know, and you had this stretch where he was just destroying defenses with that ability to say, okay, this play's dead. I'm going to go do it myself. But ultimately, there's a shelf life on that. And we saw what it was when defenses adjusted, tried to keep him in the pocket, made sure they didn't beat him with his legs. And you have to counter with the ability to be a consistently productive passer. One 300-yard passing game in his career with the Bears. Not enough, you know?
It's amazing to me that 2022 didn't matter. It didn't matter for Justin Fields. You know, in terms of his progress, like, it was so great. It was a blast to watch. I know Parkins comped it to Devin Hester. I thought that was fair, just in terms of
excitement.
The excitement and
adrenaline rush.
Right. And then we all said, if you could just put some sort of meaningful passing game with that, and Justin Fields wanted to do it. But now you look back, all that he did that year, and people were talking about him as MVP next year because of that, it didn't matter. Ultimately, because now he's a second-string quarterback with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Steelers special teams coach is talking about him being a kick returner.
What that stretch was, and ultimately, if you really boil it down, it was essentially a 21-day, four-game stretch where he set the world ablaze with his legs. It bought him time. And all young quarterbacks need to find a way to buy themselves time to try to figure out all the other things they need to figure out. But eventually, that hourglass starts to run quicker, and the sand starts to go through it a lot faster. And you better take the time that you bought and turn it into something that allows you to stick around. One of the callers there mentioned getting a second contract. If Caleb Williams doesn't get a second contract from the Bears, we can all sit in this studio, pound this table, and go total bust.
Yeah, we would use that word often if that is the case. That's Dan Weiderer. I'm Mark Grody. When we return, we will bring in another person who will be out at the Bears rookie minicamp tomorrow, Caitlin Sharkey from WGN Television, next on The Score.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to more of Mark Grody and Dan Weiderer on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Has Caleb organized any offseason throwing sessions yet?
Yeah, we've got some stuff in the works here. Yeah, I got to be careful about location and timing here, because we don't need a full crowd showing up when we do it. But yeah, we're in the works of organizing all that.
I like that. Cole Kmet is kind of, because he's from here, he is the host of all new Bears now.
Cole is always into it. It's one of the reasons he was the Media Good Guy Award winner 2 years ago, and he's just into it at all times. Yeah. He's a great guy to talk to.
Yeah, Cole Kmet Caleb Williams at the Cubs game the other day in the suite got a huge standing ovation. Like I said, it's happy time right now for the Bears making their rounds. It's cool seeing these guys pop up everywhere. They were at one of the Sky preseason games as well. Caleb Williams has some connections there. And that said, I think one of the people that was out at that Chicago Sky media day or game, amongst many of the other things that she does for WGN television, is Caitlin Sharkey, one of our colleagues who will be at the Rookie Bears minicamp tomorrow as well. She joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa Sports app today. Shark, what's going on?
What's going on, guys? Two of my Bears colleague favorites. I'm excited to join you guys.
Are you just saying that? Because Stacy Dale said something similar to that as well. So we're just trying to...
We got to keep the messaging the same. So, you know, I gave Stacy a heads up that I was also going to say that. But no, you guys are the real deal, and I enjoy covering the Bears, the ups and downs, and all the excitement ahead with you guys both.
Caitlin, we're talking about having a party out there tomorrow at Rookie Minicamp. It feels like there's going to be a festive atmosphere for Caleb Williams' first practice.
I was already thinking about, like, upcoming training camp and how nuts. I mean, from a media standpoint, we know how crazy covering training camp can be because of all the fans. Now I'm, like, thinking ahead. I'm like, it's going to be absolute chaos in the best way, in the exciting way. But, oh, yeah, the Caleb Williams hype is here, and it's exciting already.
Well, Dion from ABC7, Dion Miller, she's going to probably be overwhelmed this year because she is the best at bringing treats and cakes and snacks and whatnot. So somebody needs to alert her to what's going down, Caitlin.
Yeah, I mean, she's going to have to bake like twice the amount to cover all the media members that are going to be credentialed to cover this team in the upcoming season. But no, it is the best kind of excitement. And it, I mean, already, and Dan, you can speak to this, already being down at the draft and just having to chase the number one pick, so to speak, and be where he's got to be and try to get the interview from the red carpet to the draft stage to the post-draft interviews. It's just, it's the best kind of chaos, but you're already like, okay, this season's going to be different.
Yeah, sure. Draft night was chaotic, no question about it. In those quarters, in whatever building we were in Detroit, it was like an abandoned floor of an old office building there that they did all the media stuff in. But I did want to ask you about that because it was sort of if you were living that night in Caleb Williams' shoes, it felt like an exhausting night, but he didn't seem to get tired of any of it. And I was curious, given your observations and then obviously the chance that you had to talk with him one-on-one, what lasting impressions he left on you in that first night as a Bear?
Yeah, I mean, I was super impressed. And I know people are like, okay, well, those are the obligations. You're the number one overall pick. You do a bunch of interviews. But no, I don't think people understand the magnitude of the amount of interviews and how present he was in each individual interview. So we started our coverage on Wednesday at that Special Olympics event. And, you know, he talked to us a bunch for a long extended amount of time and was engaged to every question. He knows how to navigate a scrum. So that was, you know, Wednesday. And then you go into draft day and it was like the red carpet, you know, and we had two kind of separate scrums that he talked to both sets. And then it was like, by the time we all worked ourselves down to the draft stage and waited for him, I mean, the amount of media and the same questions he was asked over and over, I didn't feel like for a second when I got to him, and I was one of the people like in the back of the line getting Caleb for one-on-ones, but you would have never known. And I have to, hats off to him, give him credit because he understands what it takes, what it means, what being a franchise quarterback looks like, and he nailed it. So I was super impressed at just how he understands the coverage and the magnitude of what he has to do.
One of the things, too, that I loved, Caitlin, was that he seemed to, well, he did. He leaned into the whole painting of the fingernails thing. I love that he walked in, obviously, with his girlfriend and his mom by his side, who people got on him for crying to after a game. He saw, like, he was showing us when we had the little circle out at Hallis Hall where he had to do another round of interviews, literally showing us the pinky nails and how they were matching his suit. I love that he's leaning into that, and he's going to bring a completely different personality type to the Bears locker room in so many ways, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's very comfortable in his own skin, and it's not, you know, a knock on Justin, or not saying that Justin wasn't as well, but Caleb just has a bigger personality. And I think he's more open in sharing his life and showing that he's more than, you know, one dimensional. And I think it's funny because I talked to Angel Reese just a couple of days ago, one-on-one, and, you know, they're friends and they have this relationship, and they both speak about like authenticity and being genuine and showing that they are more than one dimensional. And I think that's important, especially in young emerging sports stars, to show like, listen, I can go out there, I can play football, I can play basketball to the highest level, but also this is who I am. These are my interests. This is the kind of person I am. These things are important to me. And I think sometimes we don't really care to know sometimes, unfortunately. We see the product on the field and that's mm-hmm. what we want. And that's what we concern ourselves with. But these young athletes are so much more than, you know, a football player or a basketball player. And Caleb leans into it. And I think it's great. And I think to have it out immediately and to put it all out there up front is just going to set him up for success moving forward.
Caitlin, it's like you're reading my mind, because I was scrolling through Twitter the other night and came across your one-on-one with Angel Reese. Mm-hmm. And it was very similar to me in terms of the level of charisma that just comes out, you know, naturally. Mm-hmm. And that charismatic nature, I feel like, creates an energy that becomes infectious for everybody in that room. And I'm curious if you noticed similarities in that regard between those two as two of the new faces of Chicago sports.
Yeah, I mean, even in my one-on-one with Angel, I felt like I was just as excited as she was. And I'm not saying I don't get excited for all one-on-ones, but you feed off of other energy, right? So if someone's excited to tell you a story, and the same thing with Caleb, if you feel like an athlete is engaged and they're understanding what you're asking, and you can, you know, anecdotally refer back to other things, and they just understand that energy and that presence that they have to have. And it is infectious, and it makes it more enjoyable, you know, because when you have to go through, like you said, I think, Dan, I saw one of your tweets on the day after the draft, like 300 plus interviews. When you have to go through that, you have to bring the energy. If not, like, you're going to just wear yourself out. So I think they understand it, but it's so refreshing, I think, for not only a media standpoint, but a fan base to understand, like, how excited they are and how they're embracing this moment and this opportunity.
That's Caitlin Sharkey of WGN Television, Dan Wiederer, Mark Grody on The Score up until 9 o'clock tonight. Caitlin, do you think that the Bears have done enough defensively going into the season? Is it okay for the defense to just be good if they continue to be that? Because I think that's the word to describe the Bears defense, good. Maybe you think differently.
I think they put themselves in a position to be good, right? Like bringing Montez Sweat on board, the secondary that they have. I don't think maybe they've done enough to be great just yet.
Agreed.
I'm still kind of like, after Montez Sweat, I'm like, okay, who else? You know, like, I'm not, and this is not a knock on the linebacker group or the secondary. We all know what they're capable of, but it's like there's still maybe a missing piece, but I think the foundation certainly is built, right? They understand the HITS principles. They understand the culture that Matt Eberflus is trying to implement. And also they understand his defense now, because once he made the switch to defensive coordinator and head coach, it seemed like it just took off. So they're on the right trajectory. I'm just not sure if they have all of the pieces just yet to kind of make that splash, but I talked to Jalen Johnson last week, and he said, you know, it helps when the offense can score more points.
Right.
So I feel like they'll be in a position this year, like they weren't last year or the year before necessarily, where they won't have to, like, this insane pressure, like, oh my gosh, the offense is off the field already. We have to go out there and have a turnover or make something happen. Hopefully they won't have that pressure because of the offense slacking moving forward. So, like, we'll see, though.
You go to Cleveland for a season on the line game and you score one touchdown, and it's on a 1 yard
exactly.
touchdown drive that took nine snaps to get. One last question, just as an extension of that thought. We're going to have a bit of a duty of helping the outside world take in information so that they can set the bar for the 2024 Chicago Bears. And I think that's going to be a difficult exercise for Chicago as we sit here on May 9th. What is sort of your realistic view for where this team should be aiming, or what they're capable of achieving in 2024?
And I know it should be an easier answer than it is, because, right, you look at, like, oh, we have Caleb Williams and there's this number one overall draft pick, and look at this wide receiver room, and look at the running back room, and look at this defense. I still feel like it's a hard thing to judge because we haven't seen Caleb Williams play football at a professional level. And I'm not saying he's not going to succeed, but I think still 9 wins, I'm still like kind of 9 is like my number right now that I'm targeting, because I'm like, okay, if you can go last year, 7 wins and figuring out what they were able to do with that group. And I'm not saying, hopefully that's on the low end, yeah. But right now, guys, I'm like, not that I'm telling people to temper expectations, because not at all, because Ryan Poles has worked the last couple of years to hone in on this roster and build it a specific way so that we're not saying, well, it doesn't matter what happens. No, it does matter what happens this year. And I think 9 wins plus should be like the marker, the like bare minimum for this group.
But that is absolutely fair. I mean, it's a good mm-hmm. over under number too, right there for the Bears. I don't think too many people would probably take under on that.
Mm-hmm.
Sharky, just so you know, we're going to let you go. We were just talking about it. You're very high on our power rankings as well. If we truly are two of your favorites, just know that you're at least in the top 5, at least.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. I know I need to bring the baked goods in and the food more to top Dion on the power rankings,
uh-huh.
but that's why we love Dee. Like, she's the best. So I can work my way up there. I can bring in some more baked goods for you guys.
I'd love to see a Pat Finley or Jason Leisure do a little bacon at some point in time. Dan, you could afford to bring something in every once in a while. Emma,
yes.
If you're out there, I mean, this doesn't have to always just be poor Dion.
Well,
and I appreciate Dan doing my one-on-ones with me each week for Chicago Football Weekly, because it's a grind some weeks. So I'm hopefully Dan and I will have some better conversations based on the product on the field this season.
Yeah, we'll cover some more positive ground. Listen, I released a fake schedule tonight. Next week, we may release the power rankings of the media room.
Oh, that's great.
Let's do it. I love it. I love a good power ranking.
Yeah. By the way, I had the Bears at 11-6 in Dan Weider's fake schedule. 11-6, Sharky.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it.
I like that.
Yep. Caitlin, we'll see you tomorrow. Appreciate you.
All right, sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yep, always. Caitlin Sharkey from WGN Television. Mark Grody, Dan Weider. We'll wrap this puppy up in a minute on The Score.
We're back with more Mark Grody and Dan Weiderer on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
This has been a blast, and it begins tomorrow. I mean, it's going to be intermittent for a while with the OTAs and the rookie camps and the mini camps, but rookie camp gets going tomorrow. Dan Weiderer and I will be out there. Dude, this has been a blast of a show, even though it wasn't what it was supposed to be, the schedule release show. I had a really good time working with you, man.
It kind of was still the schedule release
show. Kind of was.
Yeah, this was good. This was a really fun night.
And if you want to, go back to the, was it 7 o'clock we did Dan Weiderer's fake schedule? 7 o'clock, he gave a full 17-game schedule that he would like to see, his ideal schedule. So go back to 7 o'clock on the Odyssey app. And Tevin Jenkins was on as well at 6 o'clock. Check that out. He was great. We had fun with him, but we asked him about his contract status and all that kind of stuff. So go check it out. Thanks to Tevin Jenkins for coming on the show. Thank you to Stacey Dales. Thank you to Caitlin Sharkey. Great guests all the way through. Thanks to everybody for calling and texting. For Dan Weiderer, I'm Mark Grody. And Tyler Buterbaugh put this whole puppy together. Great work by Tyler, as always. Have you left Oak Park yet, by the way? Are you? Am I
yeah,
down?
Yeah, unfortunately, I did.
I'm down a man.
I'm not a part of the Oak Park boys anymore.
We only just found out a week ago that we live like 2 blocks from each other when we ran into each other, but he's out. Hope everybody has a great night. CBS coming up on The Score.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more Mark Grody and Dan Wiederer on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
This has been a blast, and it begins tomorrow. I mean, it's going to be intermittent for a while with the OTAs and the rookie camps and the mini camps, but rookie camp gets going tomorrow. Dan Wiederer and I will be out there. Dude, this has been a blast of a show, even though it wasn't what it was supposed to be, the schedule release show. I had a really good time working with you, man.
It kind of was still the schedule release
show.
Yeah, this was good. This was a really fun night.
And if you want to, go back to was it 7 o'clock we did Dan Wiederer's fake schedule? 7 o'clock, he gave a full 17-game schedule that he would like to see, his ideal schedule. So go back to 7 o'clock on the Odyssey app. And Tevin Jenkins was on as well at 6 o'clock. Check that out. He was great. We had fun with him, but we asked him about his contract status and all that kind of stuff. So go check it out. Thanks to Tevin Jenkins for coming on the show. Thank you to Stacey Dales. Thank you to Caitlin Sharkey. Great guests all the way through. Thanks to everybody for calling and texting. For Dan Wiederer, I'm Mark Grody. And Tyler Buterbaugh put this whole puppy together. Great work by Tyler, as always. Have you left Oak Park yet, by the way? Am I down?
Yeah, unfortunately, I did.
I'm down a man.
I'm not a part of the Oak Park boys anymore.
We only just found out a week ago that we live like two blocks from each other when we ran into each other, but he's out. Hope everybody has a great night. CBS coming up on The Score.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.